In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going to look now at the second Sunday in Advent, which will be on the 9th of December. Now, the theme is mostly expectation and confidence. The first part, I want to talk a bit about this year of faith. It's a very important word in the prayer, the opening prayer, the collect for this Sunday. It goes like this: Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. One of the key words in that is to meet your Son. And the reason for that is that the theme of the year of faith, you know, is around the idea of an encounter with the living Christ. And so I want to reflect on that as we begin this second Sunday in Advent, so that we can understand what that means and how it affects not only us, but others. The Pope, in the motu proprio instituting this year of faith, has some interesting lines. In paragraph number 2, he says, during the homily at the Mass, marking the inauguration of my pontificate, I said, the Church as a whole, and all her pastors, like Christ, must set out to lead people out of the desert toward the place of life, toward friendship with the Son of God, toward the one who gives us life and life in abundance. Moving out from where we are to meet the Lord. That's the purpose of this year of faith. Later on, in paragraph 10, he says, human reason, in fact, bears within itself a demand for what is perennially valid and lasting. This demand constitutes a permanent summons, indelibly written into the human heart, to set out, to find the one whom we would not be seeking had he not already set out to meet us. To this encounter, faith invites us, and it opens us up in fullness. Huh? He's talking about an encounter with the living Christ, a living faith experience, which is another way, as he has done so well before, of describing this grace of conscious faith, of experiential faith, when it was first poured out on the Church. The phrase that was often used was baptism in the Spirit, a phrase he doesn't hesitate to use himself. But now he's talking about this need, you see. The demand constitutes a permanent summons, indelibly written into the human heart, to set out to find the one whom we would not be seeking had he already not set out to meet us. To this encounter, faith invites us and opens us up in fullness. You see, it's an encounter with the living Christ. That's the heart of the year of faith, because that means our faith is alive. Without it, our faith is not alive. And when our faith is alive, we can share it. In this time of real stress, this is very important. The Lord wants us to be evangelizing. In paragraph 11, just to bring up one more time, in its very structure, the Catechism of the Catholic Church follows the development of faith right up to the great themes of daily life. On page after page, we find that what is presented here is no theory, but an encounter with a person who lives within the church, namely Jesus. The profession of faith is followed by an account of sacramental life. After having talked about the faith and the encounter, the catechism goes on to talk about the sacramental life in which Christ is present, operative, and continues to build his church. After the encounter with an experiential faith, the sacraments become a real encounter with the Lord Jesus every time we receive them. Confession, especially the Eucharist, you see. Sacrament of the sick when we need it. Marriage, all the sacraments. All right. Then, in a weekly audience, the Pope says these things. Dear friends, prayer is the encounter with a living person to listen to and with whom to converse. It is the meeting with God that renews his unshakable fidelity, his yes to man, to each one of us, to give us his consolation in the storms of life, and to enable us to live united to him, a life full of joy and goodness, which will find fulfillment in eternal life. So this year of faith, this encounter, you see, is the heart. Finally, in another paragraph, or in another part of the audience, he says, it is into this yes that we must enter, into the yes of Christ, into adherence to God's will, in order to reach the point of saying with St. Paul, that is not we who live, but Christ himself who lives in us. That is very important, you see. That is at heart of the mystical life. And as the writers who are reflecting on this, their own experience and others, show us, faith today expands, grows, gets deeper as we become aware of the living Christ living in us. I live, now not I, Christ lives in me, is the expression of a mature faith. This is the year of faith, which is to prepare the church to spread the faith and to bring all humankind into an encounter with Christ. Then the amen of our personal and community prayers will envelop and transform the whole of our life into a life of God's consolation, a life immersed in eternal and steadfast love. So we're called to be living witnesses, authentic witnesses. You see, there's one quality a witness has to have: first-hand knowledge of what he or she is talking about. That's the definition of a witness. Without that, you're not a witness. You're saying, I've heard the Pope is talking about it, or I've heard these people saying about an encounter, but you can't witness until you yourself have come to an encounter, a meeting with the living Christ. This is the year for it. Therefore, it's available. Well, what should we do then if we're going to enhance this notion to have an encounter with the living Christ? Well, I have some suggestions here. Seek the Lord in prayer. Make sure that that's regular and that you practice it. You can read a book about prayer if it helps. There's Ralph Martin's book on the fulfillment. There's Dubé's book on the fire within. Let some book inspire you to seek, to know, experience, be aware of Jesus Christ. Prayer. Well, as you're doing that, ask for light on the obstacles to encountering Jesus. What are the obstacles? Number one, comfort. If we're always looking for comfort, we're never ill at ease where we are. And yet, we have to be ill at ease until we're in heaven. We have to be ill at ease when most of the world doesn't know the Lord Christ. So comfort is a great obstacle to a life of prayer. Another, of course, is distraction. That is, what's going on all the time? You know, all of us are on the internet. I'm on, and I'm besieged with all the latest that Obama said and everybody else said. And now that it's all taken place, what are the accounts of it? And it's excessive curiosity. And finally, then, lack of prayer and reading. We have got to take care of our mind. Then, begin to have a regular confessor and go often, at least once a month, and assess your life honestly before Him and with Him so that you get absolution, but there is an accountability. It isn't, you know, I got mad at my wife 3 times and I did this and I did that 4 times, absolution, bye-bye. Assess your life and bring it to a regular confessor. And then follow the advice we're going to hear in the letter to the Philippians. And when we get there, I'll remind you of that. Okay? And so, in fact, I might do a little bit of it now because it's so important. It says here, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. God is my witness how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. And this is the part. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, full of the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. We'll discuss that. But even now, it's worth understanding, you see, that your love may increase. Knowledge comes through love, real knowledge. I can know how to build bridges and not be in love with the bridge. But that's just a very superficial kind of knowledge. Real knowledge. I've often quoted this before, but it fits right here. A reporter once asked Mrs. Einstein, do you know Dr. Einstein's theory? She said, no, but I know Dr. Einstein. That's the knowledge, you see, that your love grow into that kind of knowledge. And then when that happens, as we'll see when we develop that, in a few minutes, you see, that love carries us out of ourselves into contact with the person. Even somebody who loves what he does. I love studying Scripture, so I'm pretty good at it, and it's not work for me because I love it. You see, you have to love what you set out to do, but mostly love of the Lord and love of each other, and that love will increase and deepen your life of prayer. So that's how we get ready for this year of faith.